We're going to keep it real today. Okay? This may not be the typical message that you'll hear on a day like today, but I couldn't get away from it, so you're going to hear the one I brought. April the 12th, 2018, 9 a.m. in the morning, my mother lay in a bed at the Methodist Hospital across town here. A month earlier, she had called me on my birthday, and we had talked for quite some time that day. Had a great visit, just talked about all kinds of things. Everything was fine. Now, on April the 12th, she's in her second stint stay at the Methodist Hospital, and she was anything but fine. Just a month, and everything was different. Her doctor came in around 9 o'clock. Mom mustered a smile. Dad and I both said hello. The doctor looked from face to face in the room. There was a silence, awkward silence. I pulled out my phone and recorded the conversation because I didn't have my brothers with me. I wanted to make sure I got it down. So I recorded the conversation. She spoke for 5 minutes and 28 seconds. In those 5 minutes and 28 seconds, she gave a rundown of what had been done, what was had been looked at, and came to the conclusion at the end of that time that everything that had been done could be done, that could be done was done. And in the close of that conversation, she said, "Mrs. Edwards, I think you're going to pass away, and there's nothing else we can do." When she made that statement, there was a long silence in the room. And my mother said, in response to that, she said, "Well, we'll just play it by the moment." And that closed out the conversation for that piece of time. 4 days, 108 hours, 6,480 minutes, 388,800 seconds later, my mother died. And we played those 4 days by the moment. Just one moment to the next, to the next. During those 4 days, there were a lot of moments. Moments of remembrance, moments of silence, moments of anger, moments of weakness, frustration, prayer, moments of love, moments of uncertainty, moments of helplessness, moments of trust, moments of hope, moments of resolve, more moments of prayer, moments of strength and moments of faith, moments of great love, moments of just raw reality, moments of honesty, moments of calm, more moments of prayer. A moment of decision. And then many moments of grief. There are folks in this room who have gone through exactly that scenario. I'm not the only one. There are some of you here that have gone through that. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You know exactly what that's like. There's some in the room that are going through those moments now. Some may not even know those moments are the moments that you're going through now. And then there's going to be a bunch of us that may go through those moments either again or for the first time at some point in the future. It's real. It's gripping. For many good people, events like that are oftentimes the very first time they ever really pray. I mean really pray. You think sometimes you're really praying until it comes down to something that is life and death. And buddy, when that happens, you really figure out what real praying is about. And you really pray. I mean, you say the right words in the right way, with the right heart, with the right attitude. You ask other people to pray for and with you. And you truly believe that God is your only help. And you pray, and you wait, and you pray some more. Pray some more. And sometimes, nothing happens. Sometimes nothing changes. And that's where it gets dicey. When you've done all the right things, asked in the right way, really prayed, really come right down to where everything is, and God does not answer your prayer. And it can be difficult at times to admit that God hasn't answered our prayer. You see, in my family, I'm the designated prayer. Anything goes wrong, we need to get Brett to pray. I'm the designated prayer. That's the preacher's job. You got your preacher in the family. Well, the preacher does the praying. And everybody wants to call on the preacher because he can get things done. And then you come through a scenario like I just explained. And everybody looks at you. When it all starts to break in a bad direction, they look right, immediately look to you. And you feel the weight of all of that. The weight of all of that. And then when God doesn't answer your prayer the way that you've put it out there, that can be hard too. Why on earth did this not turn around? For some folks, it's that unanswered prayer that causes them to lose faith in God. At that very critical time when we've really, 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 really prayed, like nobody's business, like no other time, like no other time we've really got a hold of God. And God doesn't answer that prayer. There's a lot of folks that give up on God because He didn't answer the prayer. When it really counted, He didn't come through for them. And it weighs on them and they don't forget it. And when you're the family preacher, things are supposed to get better when you pray. But my mom died despite my prayers and despite the best efforts of the best doctors in San Antonio. I'm not the first one to have my prayers go unanswered. Nor are you. And so I've started in this raw place this morning to bring us to some realization about that. To bring us to the place where we don't give up on God when that happens to us. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. It's not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I'll come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, and he's speaking about himself. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knows. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knows. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I'll say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then am I strong. If Paul were to show up here this morning and ask who would like him to pray for them, I'm going to get in the line. Okay? I'm going to get in line to have Paul pray for me, to have Paul pray with me. Even though I just read an account where he begged God for something and that prayer went unanswered. I'm still getting in line. And I still want him to pray for me and the things that are important to me. What does this tell me? What does this little account tell me about what we're talking about here this morning? It tells me, number one, that unanswered prayer happens to even the best Christian. We got to be careful that we don't take those things personal. Unanswered prayer happens to the best Christians. And secondly, all of this tells me that God has a higher purpose in mind. Let's face it. There's not one praying person who's not prayed foolishly or selfishly. Yes? There is not one prayer alive that has not prayed foolishly or selfishly. Wonder what would happen if God answered every one of our prayers that we prayed. Have you ever thought about that? Have you thought back about what you were praying about at times and thought about if God had answered that, that would have been a train wreck in my life. It would have been an absolute train wreck Had he answered how I asked him for something? Now, don't get me wrong. Answered prayer is a wonderful thing. Okay? It is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And if we never got an answer to our prayers, we'd probably stop altogether. Yes? It is good when God answers prayer. It is wonderful to see His hand move and to be able to ascribe to Him something that only He could do. So I'm not against answered prayer. But what I'm saying is that unanswered prayer has a purpose, has a reason, and that we learn a whole lot more from unanswered prayer than we do answered. Unanswered prayer forces us to trust Him and to trust Him alone. It shows us who's weak and who's strong. It puts that in perspective for us. Because we're not moving His arm to do something. He is in charge. And when He does not answer our prayers, it puts an exclamation point on that. I am in charge. It's suffering and affliction that drives us to Him. So that in His yes or in His no, we still have Him. That's the point. It's not the point of the yes or the no. It's the point that we have Him. In the yes and in the no, we have Him. God hears every prayer. Even the ones He chooses not to answer. Maybe we ought to do like my mom said. We'll just play it by the moment. You see, the answer is not the thing that prayer is all about. It's more about God drawing us closer to Himself. How many children who get everything that they want, everything that they ask for, take for granted the gift and the giver? Do you know any children like that? They get everything they want and then they take for granted the gift and the giver of that gift. God does not intend to be taken for granted. When we pray, mostly we focus on the answer and not the journey. We focus on looking for the answer rather than what's right in front of our face, which is God. We're looking for something else and looking beyond Him to something else. Looking through Him to something other than Him. To something beyond Him. And God wants us to focus entirely on Him. And whatever helps us do that is what we really need. Sometimes our prayers will zip through and amazingly be answered almost before our mouth is shut. That's an encouragement. That is wondrous. I mean, when we go read the Bible, that's what we want to go look at. We want to go look at the miraculous, wonderful things that God has done. We don't go into the places where it says, and they left this one sick at Miletus because he could not carry on with them. We go right over that and we look at the miracles that took place and the seas that got parted and all of these things, but we go right beyond these hard things that are in there where a man has something that's plaguing him and he's asking and begging God, take this away from me. Take this away from me. Please, Lord, take this away from me. Unanswered prayer. Job lost it all. I mean all. Found himself at the bottom, reaching up to find the other bottom. And as he found himself at the bottom there, he says to those near enough to hear him, he said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Amen. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. That's not a guy that's looking beyond God to an answer for something out there. What he's saying is, I'm here right next to my Lord, and whatever happens out there, I've got God with me. I've got God right here. I'm trusting Him. I'm trusting you. You slay me here, I'm still trusting you. Almost defiant with the Lord whenever he makes this statement. You can kill me right now, but I ain't going nowhere. What he's telling him. I'm not leaving. I'm not going anywhere. I need you. I've got you here. We've got each other right here. And I'm not leaving here. I'm trusting you. Kill me or not, I'm not going nowhere. You can take my life, but you can't make me stop trusting you. So what do we do when we don't get an answer? What do we do when things that we've been praying against to break bad? What do? Well, the first thing we do is keep praying. Don't quit that. Because that's the thing that's connecting you to God. You keep that connection strong. You keep that connection right up in there. You keep praying, and you keep praying, and you keep praying. Who knows why we ask for something 499 times and the 500th time we ask, God answers. Who knows why that takes place? Why it takes that number of times before God does something sometimes? Your number may be different. We have to keep praying. Prayer is the connection. It connects us to that great big God of ours. Don't be ashamed to ask again. Don't be ashamed to ask again and again and again. Just keep asking. Stay in touch with Him. Don't run off from Him. Don't pout. Stay in the moment. Stay in the moment. Just play it by the moment. Number two, give Him the right to say no. You got no right to get mad when he says no. It's not your game. You didn't put this out here. You didn't make this. You didn't put this in motion. This doesn't answer to you. I don't need a God that answers to you. I need a God that is above us. Smarter, stronger, wiser. I need that kind of a God. And so we need to keep praying, and then secondly, we need to give Him the right to say no. Does He anyway? Absolutely has the right to say no. He knows it, but do we know it? And that's the problem. Sometimes we forget who answers to who in this scenario. I have the example of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane for that. And there in that garden, He prayed, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." Nevertheless, what did He say? "Not as I will, but as Thou wilt." He gave His Father the right to say no to that prayer. And sometimes we forget to give Him the right to do what He has the right to do. Number three, keep on doing the right thing. Keep on doing the right thing. Never quit. Don't give up. Don't check out. Pray and believe and read and obey. And the dark night will pass. The dark night will pass one way or the other. It's kind of like here this morning. We look outside and we see that big yellow ball in the sky. Where has that thing been for 2 weeks? Huh? The dark night does pass. one way or the other. Verse 9 says, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And on the heels of that, Paul says, in light of that, what does he say? "Most gladly, in light of that, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me," that we'd be one, is what he's saying. "I want to be one with you." Sometimes that oneness takes some dark twists and some dark turns to get us to that place of closeness with the Lord. You know what? A relationship that's built over a number of years, a relationship that is worked on over a number of years, doesn't usually break down in the last moment. It won't reach a breaking point. And that's what we need to learn from unanswered prayer. Now, don't let too many moments slip away. Moments become minutes, and minutes become hours, and hours become days. Days, weeks, and months, and years. When you let moments start slip away, you lose something. First of all, with the Lord, don't let moments run into years. Don't let moments run into months. That relationship needs to be strong because the dark day is coming. You have to stay at it. You have to work at that relationship. You have to stay on top of that so that when those last moments come, when those last moments come, there won't be a break that takes place there. Secondly, use the moments that you have with those that are around you that you love. Use the moments that you've been given. Don't neglect the moments that you have. Because I say this to you very kindly as I can. It's hard to get everything done and everything said when there's only moments left. It is so hard to get everything you want for someone said and done when there's just a very few moments left. And when we delay too long, it leads to us having regrets about the coulda, woulda, shouldas that are in our life. That's my advice for you this morning. That's my advice for you in your relationship with the Lord. Make those moments count. Start building that relationship today. Don't neglect it. You neglect it and you come to the end in those moments may reach a breaking point because there's no strength in the relationship. So as far as with the Lord is concerned, get with Him, work that out. Don't waste the moments. For those that you love, don't wait until there's 4 days left, 108 hours, just a few minutes. Don't wait for those moments to start something. Now's the time. Stand for prayer, please.